Please join me in the prayer of illumination. Holy God, your blessings are abundant, and your wisdom exceeds our grasp. Fill us with your Spirit as we hear your word this day, that we may be justice seekers and peacemakers, sharing your life among those who are forgotten, weak, or persecuted, and revealing to all your glory. Amen. Today's scripture is found 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than the human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than the human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not to reduce to nothing, things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I thank our brother in Christ for continuing to help us on this journey of faith this morning in worship. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for once again speaking into our lives, and in your word, we can imagine that more. We call it a living word because it reminds us of new life with you through Jesus. It also speaks of the new life that you are offering us in each and every breath. If we simply become vulnerable before you, if we open ourselves right now at this very moment to your grace and love, help us to be able to do that. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Let me see if you can figure out, come up with, who said the following things. Okay? You're a smart group. You're sharp. If you don't believe me, ask the person next to you right now. And I bet you they'll say, you know what, you're a good-looking Christian. I bet you they will say that to you right now, in fact. Let me offer these statements and wait until I'm finished. Then tell me who you think said them. Someone hits you on one cheek, offer the other cheek for them to hit. Now I said wait. Kids, we have two ears. One, someone takes your coat, give them all your clothing as well. Go ahead. Someone asks you to do a favor and go a mile for them, go the second mile for that person. I think more people know the answer. Back section, tell them how it's done. Oh my gosh. Let's try this next one. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
Jesus.
There you go. Your enemy spits in your eye, love them back. Yeah. You were right. It's Jesus. Said it all. Spoke those words. And yet, even as we're sitting here in comfort, comfortable place, safe, they still seem a bit outrageous. Really. They require an amazing level of hospitality, of vulnerability. And yet, we, as the body of Christ, oftentimes what people see as Jesus in their world, believe it or not, we are called to live just in this way. Remarkable, but true. The very first verse of the scripture reading this morning, and the very last verse of the scripture reading last week, were the same. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That preaches. I picked up on the fact that since they had it listed last week and this week, it must be pretty important, huh? For us, for each and every one of us, but also for us together, all of us who are in this together as the body of Christ, this is what we look at. That's kind of our leveling point, right there, the cross, or that cross, or any cross that you see. And we work from there. It's extraordinary because for Paul to share these words would have been saying, well, that implement of execution, that implement of humiliation is really where we find our strength. He was talking to individuals, both Jews and Greeks, who struggled to understand this. Now, before we point fingers at anybody, we struggle to understand it as well, don't we? Or I do. Although I am foolish sometimes, just sometimes, I'm glad nobody applauded for that one. Being a fool for Christ is oftentimes what really stretches me. Having the courage to do the thing that I know God has placed on my heart and be willing to go ahead and step forward and trust completely without that little inkling of, God, are you still there? Are you sure this is what you want me to do? I don't know. Nobody else has ever had that, right? Nobody else has ever had that? Everybody else is just full bore. You hear God clearly in the morning. God sends you bullet points on your text message. Says, this is what I need you to do. There's your marching orders, and everybody is, we are marching to Zion. You know, that kind of thing. You doing that? Anybody else have some doubts every once in a while? In the early church, they struggled. Certainly, there were those who had been used to a great prophetic tradition, the Jews, and receiving messages from God, and also seeing very clearly in their history God at work in their lives. the Greeks valued great speaking and knowledge. And yet, Paul is talking about something else altogether here. He's talking about trusting our lives completely. Trusting our lives 100%. And knowing that spirituality is not about us trying to impress God. Our faith is not trying to show God, look what I did. Aren't you proud of me? But our faith is always about God first approaching us. Listen to that once again. Our faith is always about God first approaching us. Well, why should we be fools for Christ? Why should we base our lives on the cross then? Well, because we are also about building God's kingdom, furthering God's reign, and truly being the body of Christ. If you haven't noticed, there is need in the world. There are people that are hungry. There are people that are naked. There are people that are broken. There are people who are thirsting for something more. There are people that are struggling in so many different ways. And Paul, to the early church and to the church this very day, is speaking the same thing. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. In other words, sometimes you're going to feel a bit foolish doing things that God is asking you to do, or participating in different things at the church that take you out of your comfort zone, that take you out of that space where you just want to kind of rest. Paul is saying that God is going to work in a way to kind of bring you forward and out of that place. And if you can trust Him in guiding each and every step, each and every word, and each and every moment, then truly, truly, you are being a fool for Christ. Now, certainly, there are things that whenever we think about it, whenever we consider it carefully, we probably shouldn't do, right? And maybe you're even thinking about something that you did this past week that you probably shouldn't have done. I, your pastor, thought about something, and I'm going to share it with you right now. Your pastor should never, ever, ever do plumbing. Brothers and sisters, I looked at it. I thought, this is how you do it. No sweat. I got it. I was so proud of myself. First problem. I made a couple more trips to try to find parts that I thought I could cram in there and stop the leak. And then finally, you know, I did. I followed how God was guiding me all along. I called the plumber because it was under warranty. No more water, no more leak. Now, I felt foolish, but that was a whole other kind of foolishness, okay? The kind of foolishness that I'm talking about is really not foolishness at all, it's faith. This is what happens. As Christians, we are called to love one another. Paul knew this, and this is at the basis of what he's sharing with the church right now. We are called to love one another so that the love of God might be made manifest in the world. In the process of learning to be the church, understand that? Did you hear that? We're always learning to be the church. We're always growing. We're being stretched. We're kind of learning how to get along with one another. And you know, Paul was already talking about that as well, wasn't he? And he was talking about that in the scripture passage last week, saying, folks, we need to focus together. We need to work together. I don't think he ever used the word folks, but I use it a lot. In the process of learning to be the church, the light continues to shine in the darkness. Although there's darkness all around, the light continues to shine. The light continues to shine. We started doing something at chapel at preschool right now. And it's a very simple thing, and I don't know why we didn't do it all along, but we started lighting these candles. Because we have chapel in here for all the kids. And the kids take turns coming up and lighting the candles, and we talk about what that light means. The light of the world is Jesus. That's a song. The source of light, God. And the flame, burning, reminding us that it keeps going, even in darkness, is the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of God is revealed wherever the love of God becomes flesh. Do you have flesh right now? Pinch yourself right now. Pinch the person next to you if they've dozed off. Pinch yourself right now. I give you permission. Do you have flesh? The power of God is revealed wherever the love of God becomes flesh. Flesh. There we behold that God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom. And God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Where have we heard that scripture passage this morning? God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. John chapter 13, verse 34 says this, I give you, verse 35, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Casting Crowns is a contemporary Christian group, and they have a song entitled The Altar and the Door. The Altar and the Door. Careless, I am reckless. I'm a wrong way traveling, slowly unraveling shell of a man or woman. Burnt out, I'm so numb now that the fire's just an ember, barely there, down in the corner of my cold, cold heart. Lord, this time I'll make it right. Here at the altar, I lay my life. Your kingdom come, but my will was done. My heart is broken now for you. Here at the altar, oh, my world so black and white, how could I ever falter what you've shown me to be right? Is it easy to follow God? Not necessarily. In fact, rarely. To truly humble ourselves, to truly follow wherever God leads. But we are called to do just that. At times, we're going to look possibly foolish in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of places that value other things above humility, above grace, above love. But those are the things that are at work in us at all times and in all places. And this table today reminds us of that as well. This table of grace. I invite those who are going to be serving communion to come forward at this time, please. Those who are going to be serving communion to come forward at this time. There is a Russian artist who created an icon. And icons are absolutely beautiful. And this was an icon depicting the three angels that came to speak to Sarah and Abraham about what was going to happen. Do you remember that story? The angel said, Sarah, guess what? Even though you're 100 years old, you're going to have a baby. Surprise. And she laughed because she thought, this is so foolish. This is so foolish. And yet God's foolishness is wiser than anything the world can ever offer. It's surprising. It's stunning. It's grace. As those angels are depicted, those messengers, they're depicted around a chalice. And so we, as the family of God, gather around the cup also. And we remember what Jesus said. He not only said that you should love one another, but he said some extraordinary words when he said, "This is my body. It's broken for you. It is broken for you. It's broken for each and every one of you. But now also, this will remind you as you receive this that you are my body. Love with flesh on it in the world." The body of Christ broken for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And again, that chalice, that cup, an extraordinary reminder of an extraordinary love experienced through forgiveness. Jesus poured out that cup and said, "This is not simply something to quench your thirst. This is my blood shed for you. You are now forgiven. There's no way that you can earn it, but you are simply called to receive it and then offer forgiveness in my name to others because you are loved." This blood shed for us, reminding us that we are forgiven. The blood of Christ shed for the people of God. We are the people of God. Thanks be to God. All are welcome to receive these elements of grace. After the communion stewards have received them, you will be directed forward by the ushers to receive them. We also have two individuals that will be coming through the gathering for those who cannot come forward. And they'll be serving our brothers and sisters in the gathering area as well. I also have wafers at this station that I'll be serving at, gluten-free, for those who choose to receive communion in that way.